ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 26 टेक्स्ट 12 we do only the word meaning state. Evam translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. Punishment in the hell called Maharaurava is compulsory for a person who maintains his own body by hurting others. In this hell, Ruru animals known as Kravyada torment him and eat his flesh. Purport. The animalistic person who lives simply in the bodily concept of life is not excused. I repeat, the animalistic person who lives simply in the bodily concept of life is not excused. He is put into the hell known as Maharaurava and attacked by Ruru animals known as Kravyadas. Om. Hare Krishna. We have been hearing the wonderful classes given the last couple of days, and I feel very sorry for all of you to bear with me after hearing such wonderful classes by the exemplary brahmacharis and grihasthas. I feel a little odd to sit here. So we are here in this very, very famous chapter, which every Hare Krishna devotee gets face to face with in the first year of his Krishna consciousness, and the result definitely becomes very, very serious, at least for some time in his Krishna consciousness. I remember when I was introduced to Krishna consciousness, and at that time I was habituated to some sinful activities still going on, and one of my very compassionate friends and now godbrother, Madhavananda Prabhu, he told me that you should read the fifth canto to chapter 26. It is very nice. So I made a note of it, went to my house. Luckily my brother had bought the Bhagavatam set. I was 17 years old that time. I was scanning through it, and I opened this, and this is one of the only chapters I finished reading in one sitting, because it became so interesting. And I was really face to face with my future. So it made me serious. And of course I used that in my own preaching, in my college preaching, when somebody would really talk about and heavy meat eating. I remember I spoke this very clearly to Gopinath Prabhu, Amol Kulkarni. You all know him. He was a very, very heavy meat eater. And I had a fortune to interact with him and preach to him. And he was, he's quite a tough person. I just told him to read the fifth canto. And he was quite serious after this. So here we are reading the different types of hellish planets, and who are the fit candidates to go to this hellish planets. That is the substance of this chapter. That what actions we perform here as human beings will determine what sort of reaction we will get in the future. So here it is explained that punishment in the hell called Maharaurava is compulsory for a person who maintains his own body by hurting others. Now this is a very, very broad type of activities that many of us perform, and whether we know it or not, but we all might be a part of this particular hell, because many of us perform activities by hurting others. The reason why we are in the material world, the main reason is because of envy. That because we are envious of Krishna, we are sent down to the material world. And because of this envy, because of this desire to really enjoy, we are in a habit of giving trouble to others. Because we are envious, we are sent here because Krishna was enjoying, because we are envious of Krishna that he was enjoying, we are sent here. The main desire being the desire to enjoy, we are sent to the material world. And we are all in the pursuit of finding enjoyment. We are all looking for enjoyment. And what do people really do in order to really enjoy themselves? It is something which is worth mentioning today for briefly, to understand to what level of degradation human beings can go to in order to satisfy their enjoyment propensities. Now, there is a rampant, in society, there's a rampant situation seen where people very ruthlessly and mercilessly kill animals for their enjoyment. I was told in America, my uncle was telling us that for kilometers and kilometers in some state of America, you will get foul smell because there are kilometers of slaughterhouses at one part of America. Maybe going probably, I don't know whether you have, luckily you have not seen this, but they are not just few meters, but kilometers. You know, you go there, it is before they enter this zone, they said, please put your mask on if required. It smells. You can't even get out of the car. It is so stinking because there are kilometers of major slaughterhouses which are maintained for people who are externally speaking very gentlemanly, but who are desirous of enjoying themselves by this desire to kill animals for their own satisfaction of the fastidious tongue. Now, everything that we do has reactions, right? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So people who are for years together attached to eating this meat, there's a reaction which nature will give. And recently, we all were face to face with a very, very dreadful situation. It was practically the headlines for almost a month or more about the bird flu, right? Now, this virus that they were talking about is exclusively meant to affect the birds, the chickens, right? It affects, and usually, the birds, they succumb to it and die. It is never a situation that this virus affects human beings. Human beings are beyond this virus. But it was found that somehow or the other, this virus was affecting human beings. And what happened? What was the outcome of that? The scientists, rather than doing anything, mercilessly, lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of chickens were killed. Because the principle is, na rahegi bas, na bajegi basuri. If there is no chickens, there is no question of any disease coming to human beings. Right? So there was a massive slaughter in places like Nandurbar and all these places in Maharashtra. Massive, lakhs and lakhs of chickens were killed. Right? So the desire to enjoy at the cost of others, millions and millions of living entities are killed. Few months back, there was this mad cow of disease. Same thing. Many cows were killed because of this. Right? So this desire to enjoy separate from the Lord, giving rise to envy and giving rise to being cruel to other living entities, is a very, very dangerous thing. And that is what is exactly explained here. That punishment in the hell called Maharo is compulsory for those who maintain our body, their own body, by hurting others. In this hell, the Ruru birds who are Kravyadas torment him and eat his flesh. Now, Prabhupada is saying a very wonderful thing. He's saying the animalistic person who lives simply in the bodily concept of life is not excused. There was a very nice conversation which I came across between Gurudas Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Gurudas Prabhu is asking that, do these people really know that they're suffering in hell? Do they know that, you know, when they're suffering, do they really realize that they're suffering? Prabhupada said, the people who are there, they are like animals. And Prabhupada explains why he writes the word here, animalistic person. He says the example that you, when you take a whip, when you show the whip to a human being, he realizes it's a whip and he's scared of it. But animal, Prabhupada says he's nonsense, he has no sense. So a whip will not make any sense to him. Right? So, even if you tell an animal that you are suffering, Prabhupada says that even if an animal is in a slaughterhouse, about to be slaughtered in few minutes, but he will still be eating the grass or the food that is fed to him happily, not really knowing what's happening. And in a matter of few minutes, he is slaughtered. That's animalistic. Prabhupada says animalistic means nonsense. Nonsense means having no sense. But human beings have sense. Whatever they do, they should do it sensibly. But Prabhupada says that when human beings start having no sense, many times we come across human beings, we tell them that my dear gentleman, that if you do this activity, you are going to suffer in hell. You are really going to suffer in hell. This is what is written here. If you eat, if you kill animals, you're going to suffer in hell. Many of them, I'm sure all of you have come across, he said, I don't mind. As long as I'm suffering now, isn't it? He said, I don't mind as long as I'm suffering now. I said, you're going to die. Old age is there, it's going to torment you. I said, I don't care. It is in the future. I don't care about future. I want to talk about what is now. This is nonsense, Prabhupada says. This is animalistic. That is by human beings who are simply not bothered about thinking about what happens in the future because they have no sense. They are animalistic in a propensity. And that is why such human beings are rightful candidates to go to hell. And they suffer, and the millions and millions and millions of such people who are doing these activities and would suffer in hell. Now, how does this translate amongst devotees? What happens is when we become devotees, we are all coming from such backgrounds. Many of us have been meat eaters, many of us have been gamblers, many of us have been having broad bad activities we have been doing because of the innate desire or the innate cause of being envious towards people. We have that envy right inside us. And we become devotees. And we take up to the process of bhajana kriya or sadhana bhakti. But it takes some time before the anartha nivritti completely complete anartha nivritti is done. It takes some time. So when a devotee is performing his sadhana bhakti, he still has this envious propensity. It is there in him. It is not gone yet. Right? So what does the devotee do? Unfortunately, the devotee, because the environment or the people that he is dealing with have changed from karmis or for animals to devotees, because he is surrounded with devotees. So that envious propensity is targeted towards devotees, because it is not yet gone. It is still there. He is working upon it. He or she is working upon it. But it is not yet gone. And the main reason why we are suffering, why we are envious, is because of misidentification. Right? In the seminar given by Srimati Mataji, she was explaining this very wonderful point of misidentification. We all are misidentifying ourselves for what we really are. And of course, it begins with the disease of misidentifying ourselves as the body when actually we are the spirit soul. But when we come to Krishna consciousness, we get the knowledge that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. And we try to execute Krishna consciousness based on that understanding. But as she was explaining very nicely, it is a very pertinent point, that Maya Devi is very, very clever. She was saying that If I want to do something very cleverly, I pray to Maya Devi, because her quality of cleverness is so astute, so refined, that she knows exactly how to attack a particular devotee, because how to do her service perfectly. So a devotee is trying to remove his identification from understanding that he is not the body, spirit, soul, and with this understanding, he is really going to go towards Krishna, and that is of course not Mayadevi, is something what Mayadevi likes. So she gives us understanding of something that we are not. Based on the service that we are performing, based on the years that we spend in Krishna consciousness, we start misidentifying ourselves as something that we are not. We identify ourselves as preachers, as college preachers, as very frontline grihasthas who are helping in big projects. So many identifications come. But she will explain very wonderfully and chronologically what happens when you start misidentifying. Because of misidentification, we start desiring in a wrong way. All of our desires are based on the misidentification. And when we wrongly desire based on the misidentification, then our priorities and our discrimination is wrong. We set wrong priorities, right? Suppose we identify ourselves as head of department of some particular department. The first thing that we get up in the morning, we identify ourselves as head of department, say of college preaching or of BBT or a book publication. The first thing that when we get up in the morning, we'll identify with that service. And we not identify as sadhakas who are supposed to perform sadhana bhakti, supposed to chant our rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We will start misidentifying ourselves on some temporary position that we have. And the result is that we affect our chanting. That is what she was explaining. So when we wrongly identify ourselves, we set wrong priorities, we do the right thing at the wrong time. What does it mean to have wrong priorities? We might do the right thing, but the wrong time, based on the wrong priorities. And then because of wrong priorities, because of not being able to properly discriminate, our acting, our willing, and our feeling, the activities of the mind are wrongly performed. And ultimately the destination that we all supposed to go is a wrong destination because of originally misidentifying ourselves. Right? So it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam also that because we misidentify ourselves, the result of misidentification, one of the results is criticizing or blaspheming devotees. Because we identify ourselves as Prabhus, then we start judging devotees, and the result of judging devotees is that we start blaspheming them and criticizing them. It is very interesting to see that what is the result of those devotees who are blaspheming and criticizing devotees. It was explained in the conversation between Markandeya Rishi and Bhagirath that the result of people who blaspheme and criticize devotees is also Maharaurav, the hell known as Maharaurav. So devotees who are having this propensity of blaspheming devotees is Maharaurav. There's a wonderful lecture which I heard in which it was explained by the speaker that many a times we have this desire. We talk about situations which are wrong. We talk about devotees who are doing things in unjust way to us. Many times we have to say that, Prabhu, this devotee is absolutely wrong. You know, he's really giving so much trouble to me. Or this environment is completely difficult for me to really execute Krishna consciousness. Or the situation is very wrong. And we are so convinced about it that we might impress the same thing upon our authorities. And they might say, actually, yes, Prabhu, you are right. And the person is wrong or the situation is wrong. We have this tendency, right, to really find faults with people or faults with situations or fault with environment, right? But the speaker, he was saying that we might be convinced that we are right and he is wrong or the situation is wrong, and we might even convince our authorities that we are right and he or she is wrong or the situation is wrong. But what is the result of the whole exercise? The result of the whole exercise is that you have proved yourself to be right, but you make no spiritual progress. What a brilliant statement. It was a startling statement for me. That you might end up convincing everybody that you are right and the situation is wrong or the person is wrong, But the result of the whole thing is that you don't make any spiritual progress. And that's where the statement comes. The Krishna consciousness is not something being right or wrong. Krishna consciousness is much beyond just being right and wrong. It's very, very important. There's a beautiful statement I came across by Sridhar Swami, which is quoted by Urmila Mataji in one of our lectures. He's saying that whether the words are true or not, pointing out the faults of a Vaishnav constitutes blasphemy. Isn't it amazing? You might say, well, this is true. This person is actually faulty. You might blaspheme him. But the fact that we are blaspheming, that itself is a wrong act, whether the reason of blasphemy is right or wrong. Right? So it is something which we should understand. The Krishna consciousness is so fine, so subtle, that it goes beyond the point of being right and wrong. It goes beyond that, and it goes to the point that to establish the fact that whether a person is a devotee, as long as he's a devotee, he is to be respected. And Sridhar Swami is saying that whether the words are true or not, but the point that we are blaspheming devotees, or we are criticizing devotees, or finding faults with devotees, in a wrong motive, of course. You know, what is it called? To correct a Vaishnava in a Vaishnava-like way, it's all right, it's fine. But you are looking at the faults of a Vaishnava in order to really find the faults and put him down. That is blasphemy. Sridhar Swami says, whether it is right or wrong, you will face the consequence of blaspheming a Vaishnava. And what is the first offense of the holy name? To blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their life to preaching his holy names. Right? Who dedicated their life. The first offense. Right? So it is very important then when we execute Krishna consciousness that we very, very, very much are very conscious of this situation. She also was quoting a very, very wonderful statement made by a monk, a Christian monk, Thomas Kempis. I have not heard his name much. But he says that, try to bear patiently with the defects and infirmities of others, whatever they may be, because you also have many faults which others must endure. Let us be very careful on this. Let us hear very carefully, please, Prabhuji's, because this will really, really help us to really save us from this mad elephant offense of blaspheming and criticizing Vaishnavas, which can devastate, the garden of our spiritual life externally might look very nice. We might be wonderful devotees, but internally it is destroyed in one moment. In one moment, that's all that is required. To destroy the garden of our spiritual life. And what is that thing? Blasphemy of the Vaishnavas. So how do we really tackle this situation? He's saying that try to be patient. Because whatever faults we have in others, they also must endure the same, because the same fault is in us. We have heard our authorities speaking that the fact that we are identifying fault in somebody, that means we know the fault so well because it is in us. If you don't know something, how will you identify? He goes on to say further, if you cannot make yourself what you wish to be, how can you bend others to your will? We are all saying that, why doesn't it become the way I want? I am the authority. Please, he should do the way I want things. But are you able to do what you want to do? Are you able to control your senses the way you want to control? If you are not able to do it on yourself, what right do you have to do it on others? Practice what you preach. What a brilliant statement he's making. He goes on to say, if we want to be perfect, we want them to be perfect, yet we do not correct our own faults. Self-righteous. Hypocritical behavior. That Prabhuji, improve. But we only know what we do in a private of our life. In a private chambers of our life, we know what we are doing. We wish them to be severely corrected, yet we will not correct ourselves. This their great liberty displeases us, yet we would not be denied what we ask. When we find some devotees being liberal and enjoying their liberty, we feel very displeased. But we don't want to be denied what we want.
We would have them bound by laws, yet we will allow ourselves to be restrained in nothing. We would install laws, and you will say that you have to do this. That is the ivory tower syndrome, right? Ivory tower. Sit in the ivory. We just say, oh, you are doing this. There is a law, and you just tell him that this is the law, and you have to. This is the punishment, and you are sitting in the ivory tower, not really knowing why somebody is doing the way he or she is doing. This is the danger of being leaders. Hence, it is clear how seldom we think of others as we would do ourselves. So that is very important. That before we even think of our fault of a Vaishnava, we have to understand, we have to really fine-tune our intelligence. And we have to identify ourselves as servants, as sadhakas. And that's all what we are. I remember once, in one of the Bhagavatam classes that I heard, the speaker was saying that, when you come in the temple, we are all supposed to remove our shoes. And the Vaishnava etiquette says that removing of shoes is symbolic to keeping our false ego in the shoe rack. So that way, if we could have a board staying outside, please remove your shoes and false ego in the bag. And we can take it back when you go back. Because when you come to Radha Gopinath temple, at least I've experienced so many times, when you step into Radha Gopinath, you assume a particular position. And when you enter, you want people to see you in a particular position, and you behave on a position that you think you are. But we do not behave as a humble servant of Radha Gopinath, come for the mercy of the Lord. When we come, we say, oh, we are a counselor. So when we come, we are all in the mood of counseling people. But little do we know that we require so much counseling ourselves. We come as preachers, people respect us. It's all because of misidentification. And be sure, if you misidentify yourself as anything but being a sadhaka or a devotee of Krishna, then you will definitely end up into mental blasphemy, which will give rise to verbal blasphemy or criticism, and will be a cause of a degradation, and you will find yourself in hellish situation. As explained by Srimati Mataji, the destination, we are all trying to work towards going to spiritual world, the Golok Vrindavan. We are all heading towards that, we are all working hard towards that. But because we misidentify the ultimate result of misidentification is wrong destination. So what we can learn from this very, very wonderful verse is that, yes, we should be very, very kind, and we should be really compassionate to the karmis outside, because if they really don't stop slaughtering of animals and killing human beings for their own self-pleasure, they're going to really suffer for millions of years in this very dangerous situation of Maharaurav, where the Ruru birds are going to eat his flesh. I remember explanation given that it is like this, that these Ruru animals, they're sitting in front of you in the hellish planets, and you are in front of the Ruru birds. Is it like that? And then they look at you, and then you have to look at them. And they're looking at you, and you look at them. And at the most unexpected moment, they run towards you and they pluck out your eyes. And the wonderful thing is, you have your eyes again. It is not gone yet. Then again you look at them, he looks at you. That's like spiritual world. A spiritual world, what happens? The flower is there, Krishna is there. The flower looks at Krishna, Krishna looks at the flower, flower becomes more ecstatic, Krishna becomes more ecstatic, he becomes more beautiful, Krishna becomes more happy, he becomes more beautiful. That's what is going on for eternity, right? The flower is happy, the Krishna is happy. Similarly, perverted reflection in the hellish planets. The Rurubar is there and you are there. He looks at you and you look at him. And at the most unexpected moment. And he said, the hellish planets, you are giving such a body that you don't even die. Because in the material body, when you inflict some pain upon you, you ultimately die, right? You give so much trouble, the person dies. At least he's rid from this body. Sometimes the people who are having tremendous disease, they say that, please get me rid of this body. When Soka Krishna Prabhu was in a situation, His spiritual master told him that now the body is finished. Get rid of this body. Leave this body. It has done his work. Leave it and go back to the spiritual world. Right? So when somebody is in a situation, we want to give up our bodies when we're suffering. But in the hellish planets, that's not the situation. The situation is that you are having enough strength, just enough strength to bear it for as many years that you need to suffer. You can imagine the atrocities. I was hearing a class where it was said that you have to climb some trees in which there are these thorns which are on upside. Shamali? Shamali Kantak. It's not like this. It is like this. And you are pulled. And you suffer. And again you have to climb up. You are pulled. And that is going on for eternity. But what I was really amazed, it is that we are laughing. The Prabhu, Karmis, Suno, here, this is your destination. But little do we know that if we blaspheme and criticize devotees, unfortunately, that is also our destination. When Amoga was blaspheming Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvam Bhattacharya said, please, you are going to Maharaurav because you are blaspheming Lord Chaitanya. Maharaurav is not only meant for karmis, Prabhujis. It is also equally applicable to devotees. And we might end up in Maharaurav instead of Golok Vrindavan. And he said, what happened? Wrong address. And he said, well, the way you select a path, you reach there. All because of blasphemy. That's why it is such a grievous offense to be blasphemous and criticize of devotees. And everything starts because of misidentification. And the problem starts when we become or when we think we are senior devotees. The senior devotee syndrome. Because I am facing it so terribly. So I can very, very graphically explain to you this dangerous situation that can come upon us. Of really thinking ourselves to be senior. It is very dangerous. Right? So let us really understand this and let this be a take-home message from this verse, that we must definitely be preaching so that we can save the people from this hellish condition of Maharaurav. But at the same time, in the pursuit of saving others, we should not find ourselves in that same situation. Because you might save others and they will be saved, but you will find yourself in the mess. And to end, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sanatana Goswami, he said that when Sanatana Goswami was delivered from working under Nawab Hussain Shah, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have been saved. Krishna has been very kind to you. You have been saved from the hellish situation of Maharaurav. Because you are associating with mlechas and yavanas, and you are serving mlechas and yavanas. But Krishna is very kind to you, and he has saved you from this hellish condition. So let us all really safeguard ourselves, and let Krishna be merciful to us in the way that we really respect each and every devotee. Each and every devotee is worshipable. It is said, what is the easiest way to please anybody? Is to glorify the near and dear ones. And what is the easiest way to upset anybody? It is to criticize or blaspheme the near and dear ones. Similarly, devotees are the near and dear ones of Krishna. Krishna loves them. And Krishna, there is no way we can please Krishna if we think inimical or we blaspheme the devotees of the Lord. So that is what I thought would be an important meditation on this verse, that we can take home this message of how we should worship each and every Vaishnava. And it is not very difficult. But if the verse, the one verse that we heard, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, that one out of millions and millions of people even becomes desirous of being a devotee. And millions of them, one person becomes a devotee. So as we were hearing one of the lectures, the speaker was saying that what we are associating with is one of those millions of people who are there. We are associating with such hundreds of people in the society of Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada has given us this fundu facility of we are associating with those rare, one of the millions of people. And we is a congregation of all those rare people who have come together. They're like a champion of champions. They really passed through all situations. They're one of those millions, and many of those one of millions are associating with each other. So how wonderful it is. And Krishna consciousness will be so easy. It will be so wonderful. If you simply see that how each Vaishnava is glorious. Because ultimately we all come here to make progress in Krishna consciousness. And we are not come here to really find faults. As we have heard from the speaker who was saying that you might find faults and you might be very happy and satisfied that at last I convinced everybody that I am right and he is wrong. Or I convinced my authorities that actually he was right and he was wrong and I am right. But you make no spiritual progress. What a statement. And the fact is we all come here to make spiritual progress. Right? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Anybody would, or any, all my senior godbrothers are here, senior devotees. Anybody would like to add? Gaurang Prabhuji? Govind Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, and all, anybody? Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Gantra Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki, Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki.